The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our continuing coverage of the COVID-19 crisis. I'm Bill Price. Economic shutdown.
The U.S. labor market is in serious trouble.
That is our top story this Friday. The March jobs report came out today as expected. It wasn't good.
This is bad news, but the reality is much worse.
Mark Hemrick at Bankrate.com. The U.S. government saying today that 701,000 jobs lost last month and the unemployment rate shot up to 4.4%. Economist Gus Fauché says this is just the start of what's to come.
This was before the impact of most of the layoffs in March, which occurred in the second half of the month. This was based on data from the second week in March. So I expect that the April jobs report is going to be even worse. Many more job losses, a much higher unemployment rate.
With so many Americans out of work, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says money from that stimulus package should be in bank accounts very soon.
I had previously said this would take us 3 weeks. I'm pleased to report that within 2 weeks, the first payments will be direct deposit into taxpayers' accounts.
Mnuchin says if you don't have direct deposit, it's going to take a little longer for you to get that money. Also today, the government's $350 billion plan to rescue small businesses in the country took effect. 24% of those businesses say they'll be out of business within the next 2 months because of the pandemic. Coronavirus cases now topping 1 million worldwide. About a quarter of those are in the U.S. As the numbers dramatically rise, medical resources are now under unbelievable pressure.
The things that I see in the ER are scary.
That's Dr. Matthew Bai at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York City. He says the facility is overflowing with sick people. Nurses in the Bronx took to the streets Thursday to protest the lack of personal protective equipment.
Every day when I go to work, I feel like a sheep going to slaughter.
The Justice Department and the Department of Health and Human Services is now distributing medical supplies to New York and New Jersey after seizing them from hoarders. Officials say they found the supplies last week in New Jersey during a federal enforcement effort. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio following LA's lead and asking folks venturing outside in the Big Apple to wear a mask.
You can make it with stuff that's already in your house. You don't need something that a first responder or a healthcare worker needs.
The White House now recommending everyone wear a mask in virus hotspots, but Dr. Deborah Birx on the president's coronavirus task force says the coverings may give Americans a false sense of security.
Don't get a false sense of security that mask is protecting you exclusively from getting infected, because there are other ways that you can get infected.
Birx says the best way folks can protect themselves is to wash their hands and keep their distance. President Trump asking more companies across the country to start making medical supplies. At General Motors, correspondent Jeff Gilbert tells us the auto giant is now pumping out ventilators.
Temperatures will be checked before workers even enter the site. They'll wash their hands, put on a medical-grade face mask. You clean your workstation when you arrive and when you leave. Those single-person workstations face 6 feet apart. Cleaning crews, meanwhile, will be sanitizing common areas three times a shift.
That's Jeff Gilbert reporting. Two cruise ships with sick travelers on board docked and started disembarking yesterday in South Florida. The healthy people now flying home. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says those infected with COVID-19 are being taken care of.
It's going to be a very controlled exit.
DeSantis says the sickest patients now being treated at local hospitals, while those with less severe symptoms are being screened. First responders in South Florida say this was the best possible outcome.
How do you allow the ship to come in without affecting our community? And I think the deal today that we struck was a win-win.
But Broward County Commissioner Mark Bogan says he wanted all passengers on board the cruise ships to be quarantined for 14 days at a local Air Force base. That plan fell through. The skipper of the USS Theodore Roosevelt says he was trying to save lives after dozens of crew members were sickened by the coronavirus, but someone leaked his letter to superiors asking for help. Now the Navy has removed Captain Brett Crozier from command.
I could reach no other conclusion that Captain Crozier had allowed the complexity of his challenge with the COVID breakout on the ship to overwhelm his ability to act professionally, when acting professionally was what was needed most at the time.
That's Acting Navy Secretary Thomas Mudley. The FDA has fast-tracked a blood test that can tell if someone's been exposed to COVID-19.
It's going to help us determine what is what we call the attack rate of the virus, how many people it could attack, and what was the spread like.
FDA Commissioner Dr. Stephen Hahn.
This test is a key part of that surveillance, but it is not a substitute for a diagnostic test.
Researchers, meantime, at UPMC in Pittsburgh say they've developed a vaccine to fight COVID-19, and they're seeking federal approval to test it. Dr. Oz from the Dr. Oz Show says he doesn't expect the vaccine to be available, though, for at least another year.
We need federal support. You've got to take the risk out of this for these companies. We should be funding aggressively initiatives in order to develop the fastest vaccine possible. I still think we're at least a year away from a vaccine.
Dr. Oz says a number of promising treatment options are being looked at right now in the country. The key will be how to get those treatment options out to the general public. Demand has stretched the nation's food banks to the max. Pedro Rodriguez says they've got enough food in their home for one more week.
Would you be able to have dinner tonight if you didn't go to the food pantry?
Not much, no. Maybe lunch?
With the entire family laid off from work, Rodriguez says they rely on a food pantry in Newark, New Jersey to eat. But earlier this week, that food pantry ran out of food. Feeding America's Claire Fontenot says they've seen a 92% jump in demand for food.
We can't meet the challenge of this moment without additional help.
Fontenot says one-third of all people going into food banks during this health crisis have never received emergency food aid before. She says the system simply cannot meet the demand. Still to come this Friday, social distancing at Easter. Some hard questions and some hard answers on the way. Plus, New York State has a budget and Pennsylvania has a problem.
Good afternoon. We're looking at a pretty cloudy afternoon in much of the area. A little pesky shower activity as well. The weekend looking dry with a little sun, but a lot of clouds. I'll put this all together in forecast form for you coming up in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Friday, April 3rd, Governor Andrew Cuomo says the coronavirus outbreak continues to take its toll on the Empire State, with over 102,000 people now testing positive.
Number of deaths, highest single increase in the number of deaths since we started. 2,300 to 2,900 deaths.
The governor says they're seeing more cases of COVID-19 on Long Island. Cuomo now asking for more medical supplies like ventilators, masks, and gowns. The head of the Buffalo City Schools criticizing Governor Cuomo for his decision to shut down schools in two-week increments.
This two-week's hammer is creating an unnecessary anxiety on our children and on our families and on our staff.
Dr. Kreiner Cash says he also doesn't like the fact the Cuomo administration got rid of April break in New York State.
It is an insult to try to cut off a point politically of when we go back to school or when we would be considering to go back to school, because you think teachers are going to go on vacation. What are you talking about? What vacation do you think anybody's going on right now?
2 weeks ago, the governor closed schools in New York until April 1st. Last week, he extended that for another 2 weeks. And Cuomo says he'll make another decision on delaying school by the middle of the month. In Pennsylvania, schools are closed indefinitely. It was a couple of days late, but New York State now has a budget. $177 billion deal makes changes to the state's controversial bail reform law, and it bans those single-use food foam containers. The budget does not allow for recreational marijuana in the Empire State. Jobless claims in the Commonwealth have reached 1 million. Family Life's Brandon Dixon takes a closer look at the numbers.
Coronavirus to blame for the soaring unemployment figures. Nearly 200,000 people filed for benefits through Wednesday, which is actually a sharp decline from the week prior. In New York, more than 369,000 filed for unemployment, which is an increase from the previous week. The State Labor Department says it's seen staggering spikes in phone calls and web traffic since the health crisis began. Meanwhile, GOP lawmakers in Pennsylvania have sent a letter to Governor Wolf urging him to expedite reopening of businesses who can still adhere to social distancing guidelines rather than keep so many residents out of work with no clear long-term plan. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. With Easter on the way, a lot of families wondering if it's safe to get together again. The experts say no.
We are not going to be having people at our house. And to me, that seems like very good advice that people should consider when they're making their own decisions about family gatherings.
That's Dr. Bram Siegel at Roswell Park Cancer Institute in Buffalo. He says it's simply not safe yet for large family gatherings. Pastor Robert Zapfel at St. Leo the Great Church in Amherst, New York, says this Easter season can still be spiritual without being physical.
You can pray for each other. Certainly a visit over the phone or Skype or Zoom is easy to use. Some of what we've lost is the art of letter writing. What about sitting down and putting things in a letter to someone? Sometimes we can even say things in letters that we might not feel comfortable saying face to face.
Zapfel says it's important to reach out this Easter season, even if you cannot physically be with someone. The experts say we're all in the same boat when it comes to stopping the spread of COVID-19, and the quicker we all adhere to the guidelines, the quicker this crisis will be over. Buffalo Democratic Congressman Brian Higgins says Western New York will get $20 million in federal emergency funds to fight COVID-19. That money will be used for treatment and prevention programs. Businesses in Pennsylvania running out of time if they want to be exempt from the governor's shutdown order. Family Life's Terry Diener.
The Wolf administration announced a deadline of 5 p.m. Friday for waiver applications, prompting an outcry from small business advocates who said the deadline was premature and would create additional hardship for struggling employers. Gordon Denlinger, state director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, is asking the governor to reconsider that waiver shutdown. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Grocery stores across our listening area now working with local county health departments to help stop the spread of COVID-19.
Focus very heavily on keeping their customers separated with that 6 feet of distance. Some of the other stores are actually encouraging people to not bring in their recyclable bags, which a lot of us are using these days. Go ahead and use the bags in the store.
Health expert Shauna Ryan says customers being asked to help stop the spread too.
Wipe down the cart before you use it as much as you can. The other thing that we are encouraging people to do is try to avoid using actual money. We can use our debit or credit cards very easily to where the cashier doesn't have to touch those.
The experts also urging folks to use curbside pickup or have their groceries delivered right to their home as much as they can. Pennsylvania Agriculture Secretary Russell Redding says food in the Commonwealth is safe to eat. Redding says he's urging all Pennsylvanians to stop hoarding food.
Buying a month's worth of food makes it hard for our neighbors in the food banks and the food pantries to get the food that they need.
The FDA says there's simply no evidence that food packaging is helping to transmit COVID-19, and proper guidance has been given to the food industry when it comes to personal hygiene and the cleaning and sanitizing of food facilities. Protesting social distancing in the Steel City, a Pittsburgh area pastor says he's holding an outdoor Woodstock-like Easter service. It's to protest the national social distancing guidelines. Jonathan Shuttlesworth of Revival Today Ministry says the government orders are a violation of the First Amendment. Critics say the pastor is risking lives by holding this Easter service. the NFL in limbo. Sunny time, 2-minute drill.
Thank you, Bill. Will there be football? The NFL's chief medical officer says prerequisites must be set in order to start the season on time. Dr. Alan Sills tells NFL.com that widespread coronavirus testing would have to take place by then. League counsel Jeff Pasch previously said that they expect to start on time. There will be NBA action tonight, video game style. The NBA, the National Basketball Players Association, and the video game 2K holding the NBA 2K20 player tournament. It'll air on ESPN tonight and ESPN2. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell, and Zach LaVine are among 16 players vying for the top prize of $100,000. And here's the good news, that $100,000 will be given to a charity in support of coronavirus relief. The NBA is looking to play real games soon, hopefully, maybe in Las Vegas. Sports Illustrated reports they're talking. The NBA has a close relationship with the city, which hosts the Summer League each year. The 76ers say they're pleased with the work done so far by general manager Elton Brand. Multiple reports state the Knicks want to hire Brand for that role, but NBC Sports says the team's happy and has no plans to part with Brand. The Sixers tied for fifth in the East at the time play was stopped. 76ers center Al Horford is making a donation toward coronavirus aid. Horford donated $500,000 to his home country of the Dominican Republic, but also to every American region he's played basketball. Boston, Atlanta, Gainesville, Florida, and Michigan joined Philadelphia on that list. Baseball news, Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner is proposing a home run derby to settle extra inning games once the season begins. I like it. He tells Spectrum Sportsnet that after a normal 10th inning, three hitters from each team would get five outs each to see who hits the most home runs. You know, that could keep the fans there longer, too. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
The sound of the crack of the bat going to sound really good again. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, coronavirus cripples the economy. Stimulus checks are on the way and social distancing. Getting creative.
Truth and love go together. In fact, they must go together. How we can make sure they do in our speech and actions are worth a closer look. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stonestreet. This is Breakpoint. Each year, the Colson Center family gathers for the Wilberforce Weekend Conference in Washington, D.C. with friends new and old. The weekend includes incredible Christian worldview teaching, networking with Christian leaders from across the country and beyond, the commissioning of a new class of Colson Fellows after they've studied with us for a year, and of course, honoring together the Wilberforce Award winner. You might have guessed the live gathering we had planned for next month won't happen, at least not in person. However, all of this year's Wilberforce Weekend content will be delivered virtually. And the best part is, it's now absolutely free. Given the difficult and uncertain times, not to mention the rising unemployment rate, we've removed all costs associated with this event. We're trusting God to use this virtual event to equip and lead His people for such a time as this. When we developed the theme for the event months ago, none of us could imagine that truth, love, together could possibly be even more relevant somehow. I mean, the clash of worldviews in our culture is pretty steep as it is. But now, in the wake of this global pandemic, nothing is more central to the Christian mission in the world than to love our neighbors enough to share truth with them and to make sure whatever we say and we do is couched in true, authentic Christian love. In fact, Bob Fu, this year's Wilberforce Award winner, can tell you that sharing truth in a context of crisis is difficult, and it can be costly, even dangerous. Pastor Fu is founder and president of China Aid, which is a Christian human rights organization committed to promoting religious freedom and the rule of law in China. He was born in Shandong Province to a disabled father and a beggar mother. So he enrolled in university, fully intending to join the Communist Party and become a government official. But God had other plans. An American professor gave him a biography of a Chinese intellectual who had converted to Christianity. As Fu told the Wall Street Journal, that book changed my life. Then after graduation, Fu taught English at a Communist Party school in Beijing while he and his wife Heidi became active in the house church movement. They even established a Bible school there that used chairs they borrowed from the Communist Party school. When the Communist Party didn't share Fu's sense of irony, he and his wife were jailed. About a year after their release, with Heidi pregnant with their second child, the Fus fled China and its one-child policy.
He immigrated to Hong Kong, and eventually Fu was granted political asylum in the U.S. in 1997. Just as the persecution of the church has, at times throughout history, led to the unintended spreading of the gospel, Pastor Fu's forced immigration has also increased his influence. From his base of operations in West Texas, he operates what the Wall Street Journal has called the most influential network of human rights activists, underground Christians, and freedom fighters in China. What Fu and China Aid have accomplished is the stuff of movies. In 2009, they helped smuggle the wife and children of Christian human rights lawyer Gao Zhanjing, called by Amnesty International the bravest lawyer in China, out of the country. Though our typical banquet honoring Pastor Fu with the 2020 Wilberforce Award will have to wait until the fall, he and a whole host of world-class Christian worldview thinkers like Oz Guinness, Lee Strobel, Andy Crouch, Uju Ekiosha, and others will be a part of this year's Truth Love Together virtual event. Again, it's free. Completely free, and it's on demand starting May 15th. Sign up at WilberforceWeekend.org. That's WilberforceWeekend.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, Friday afternoon. Let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we've got this strong storm system swirling about in the Atlantic, east, and southeast of New England. Close enough to produce cloud cover here, but far enough away to keep us shielded from its heavier precipitation and wind. The call for this afternoon, generally cloudy. There'll be a little sun mixed in near Lake Erie at times. There'll also be a couple of passing showers around, temperatures peaking in the 40s to near 50. Tonight, some leftover clouds and evening shower, low temperatures 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, cloud cover breaking for a little sunshine in places, the high in the 50s. Sunday clouds, some sun, and a passing shower in spots, the high in the 50s to near 60.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you are just joining us, here is the very latest on the COVID-19 health crisis, Friday, April 3rd. The government's March employment report came out today.
This is bad news, but the reality is much worse.
Mark Hemrick at Bankrate.com. That report shows 701,000 jobs were lost last month, and the unemployment rate was up nearly a point from February's 3.5%. Here's economist Gus Fauché.
We saw huge job losses, particularly in industries tied to travel and tourism, restaurants, and so forth. But I think we're going to see damage throughout the labor market before this is done.
The cutoff date for today's report was March 12th. That's before 10 million Americans filed first-time unemployment claims, and those stimulus checks cannot get to the unemployed fast enough. Here's correspondent Weijia Jiang.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said stimulus checks will start being sent out in about 2 weeks. And he pushed back against allegations that some may have to wait up to 5 months if they don't have direct deposit, saying the IRS is working on a portal for people to enter their banking information, allowing them to get their checks in a matter of weeks.
That's Weijia Jiang reporting from Washington. There are now more than 53,000 coronavirus-related deaths around the world. Over a million cases. The U.S. reported the highest daily death toll of any country so far at nearly 1,200 and more than 6,000 fatalities in total today. Officials at Johns Hopkins University say more than 210,000 people have recovered from the disease, including 9,000 in these United States. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson among those recovering from COVID-19.
So they have a temperature, and so in accordance with government advice, I must continue my self-isolation until that symptom itself goes.
Johnson says he's feeling much better and cannot wait to rejoin his fellow Brits. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour this Friday afternoon, next at noon, part two of our talk with Dr. Dawn Day at Spring Arbor University in Michigan. Family Life's Brandon Dixon sits down with the doctor to talk about whether or not there's any truth to reports that losing a sense of smell is a sign of COVID-19. Let's listen in.
One of the challenges with this virus is that it's very similar, at least in some of the symptoms, to the cold, to the flu. So it can be easily cloaked, or people might think, oh, I don't have anything. Then maybe they actually do have coronavirus. But something that I found interesting, one of the NBA players that had been diagnosed with a positive test with coronavirus, something that he had mentioned and others had chimed in saying, you know, we've experienced the same thing too, is that they lost their sense of smell. Is that possibly a sign of coronavirus?
Yeah, so we are hearing reports of some patients who are experiencing loss of smell and or taste, because those two are closely related. And we don't have significant data yet to say that this is across the board symptom of coronavirus. The American Academy of Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery are asking that these are added to the list of symptoms so that people can be aware and maybe more prepared. But we also see these sensory losses in people with the common cold or sinusitis, because inflammation or viral damage occurs in the upper respiratory system where we're seeing these viruses. But we're typically seeing this in older populations, and it is temporary. So it's seen, but temporary.
Piggybacking off of that, though, we have heard that there are similar symptoms for sure with the cold and flu and obviously COVID-19. So are there some telltale signs that we could pick up on that, okay, this is not just a simple cold, this is something more serious like the COVID-19 virus?
I think that people need to consider, first of all, were they exposed to anybody that tested positive? Were they quarantined properly, or did they put themselves at risk at all, or were they at risk for any other reason, going to work or whatever? Also, people should consider their own health patterns. So, for instance, if it's allergy season and somebody typically has allergies, then they could decrease their exposure to the pollen or the allergen by closing windows, washing clothes and hair, and seeing if those symptoms decrease, kind of ruling out some other things before they think that it's COVID. With a cold, typically we're going to see symptoms like nasal congestion and a sore throat, sometimes runny nose. And the flu, while some of these common symptoms are the same as COVID, like fever, cough, or fatigue, the flu really has a much more sudden onset, and people recover from it quicker, whereas COVID has a gradual onset and typically more severe respiratory symptoms like the shortness of breath. So it's kind of sometimes a rule out to kind of look at those symptoms and see how fast it came on or how slow it came on. But it is important to note that from what we're seeing in most cases of COVID, about 85% of them, they're mild and they can be treated at home with Tylenol for fever and some good hydration. So once people have ruled out some of these other things, it's best to just call their doctor and ask them how to proceed and if they need to come in and be seen.
We've been able to go through a lot of these different signs and symptoms, ways to treat, ways to prevent, that sort of thing. And so I think the public is pretty well knowledgeable, thankfully, on ways to stay at home and protect themselves, some of those things that you had mentioned earlier. But you being within the medical industry and being around healthcare, are there any other things that we should be concerned of regarding this illness or that might not be on our radar or aren't talked about right now that we should know?
Yeah, Brandon, like you said, we are well informed. People are learning fast. And we still have a lot to learn about the disease because we're learning more every day through the studies that we're doing on COVID patients and how others have responded. But I think moving forward in this kind of new normal, we're going to begin to hear about the grief that people had about what life was like before COVID. We're going to talk about the psychological impact of this experience, the social isolation, fear and anxiety that many will suffer. I think that's going to be a prominent discussion. But I think we'll also begin to talk about the positive outcomes from what we're experiencing right now. You know, in our nursing programs at Spring Arbor University, we have over 1,100 students and 150 faculty who are all nurses. And they're on the front lines, like you said, through all of this. And we're hearing about the initial panic and stress from them, but we're also hearing how people are praying more. They're praying with their families, their patients, with each other. They're learning to reprioritize and to slow down, enjoying the moment. They're not taking things for granted. We're seeing communities band together, delivering food and supplies to hospital staff. And where they're able, nurses are watching each other's kids so they can continue to work. Neighbors are being better neighbors. Families are learning to engage with each other again, and we're just learning how to be patient. We're learning to be still. So I'm kind of hoping that these are the things we're going to start to see on our radar as we move forward.
Absolutely. You've been over some great details once again, Dr. Dawn Day with Spring Arbor University in Michigan. Thanks so much for your time and for sharing this knowledge with us.
Thank you, Brandon. It was my pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Brandon Dixon speaking with Dr. Dawn Day at Spring Arbor University in Michigan. Let's head to the Weather Center one more time before we leave you this Friday afternoon. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we've got this strong storm system swirling about in the Atlantic east and southeast of New England. Close enough to produce cloud cover here, but far enough away to keep us shielded from its heavier precipitation and wind. The call for this afternoon, generally cloudy. There'll be a little sun mixed in near Lake Erie at times. There'll also be a couple of passing showers around, temperatures peaking in the 40s to near 50. Tonight, some leftover clouds and evening shower, low temperatures 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, cloud cover breaking for a little sunshine in places, the high in the 50s. Sunday, clouds, some sun, and a passing shower in spots, the high in the 50s to near 60.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Have yourself a great weekend. Finally, this Friday, some folks are getting creative in this new world of social distancing. Correspondent Mark Mayfield.
An Ohio man wanted to see his mother in her nursing home, but it's locked down. So he visited outside the window in a tree trimming bucket. He got permission to bring the truck and lifted himself to the third floor. She didn't know until he called her and told her to look out the window. He plans to visit her again using that same tree trimming bucket.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Mayfield reporting. That is the world we live in this Friday. As always, thanks for coming along. Have a safe and a happy weekend. I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.